Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. The Bible reminds us that we walk in the flesh and we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Then we are reminded to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. One thing I love about being a Christian is I now see things from a different lens. Before I was a Christian, I saw it from a secular perspective, right? And I'm talking about everything in life, the way I saw relationships, the way that I saw manhood, the way that I saw finances, the way that I saw purpose in life, the way that I saw death, the way that I saw marriage. It's now totally different because I've been saved. I'm now wearing a different lens, and this lens is based on not how I feel, but based on the word of God. And in today's culture, we hear it all the time. Our coworkers are talking about race, and family members are talking about race, and politicians are talking about race. And one thing about living in America, you have to try hard to not realize that this Western society is rooted in racial tensions and is rooted from a racial paradigm. And even though many try to obscure or to not deal with this issue of race, it still comes up and we have to deal with it. Then once we become a Christian, it seems like we wouldn't have to deal with it as much. But even within the body of Christ, because many of us have not dealt with this issue, it's not going anywhere. We still have to deal with it. But I'm hoping whether you're talking about race, whether you're talking about marriage, whether you're talking about finance, whether you're talking about worship, regardless of what we're talking about, I'm hoping that we can talk about it from a biblical discourse. It's easy for us to say, well, I think, or I feel, or what I believe. What we need to make sure is we check in our own personal biases with the word of God. And oftentimes our culture plays a big role in it as it relates to our views concerning different things. So today's episode, I wanted to just talk about the topic of race just a little bit. And we have a special guest. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She even has a degree in counseling. But more importantly, for our purpose, she is a teacher in Christian apologetics. And that's what motivated me to invite her to Sound Reasoning Radio Show. We want to welcome our special guest for today, Sister Elrita Dodds. Sister Dodds, how are you?
Fine, I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting me, Minister Poku.
It is not a problem. You wrote a book entitled, and I love it, Racism, the Bible and the American Dream, with a subtitle of From Slavery to Obama, a frank discussion from a Christian perspective on racial discrimination in America and its effects on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen. That's a mouthful. So,
yes.
So please give us a working definition of race.
Well, race basically is defined as it's a descriptive human category, and it fits that one fits into based on one's skin color, facial features, mm-hmm. national origin, or ancestry. And in America, the basic deciding factor of what one's racial identity is has to do with whether or not one is considered to be white or non-white, actually. Mm-hmm. Persons of color, we are often categorized into several different races. It could be African Americans, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Native Americans, and so forth. And a person of color, well, a person who is not in one of those categories is basically considered white, Caucasian, white, the dominant group, as we would say, in America specifically, but even all over the world. These racial categories are pretty, you know, pretty much written into our psyche, you know, as far as what race is. But basically, we're really looking at how people look. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes,
right.
Now we can go deeper than that, but usually it's people. That's why a lot of people, if they don't know, but people can't tell exactly what race they are or mm-hmm. ethnicity, they'll ask them, what are you?
Right, right.
that kind of thing. So we're looking at, but our operative, our working definition is descriptive human category one fits into based on skin color, facial features, national origin, and or ancestry.
I may be jumping the gun a bit, but as Christians, when I pose that type of question in terms of race and how we should mm-hmm. define it, how should we go about making sure that we have a biblical understanding of how to define race?
Yeah, and it's interesting because race is man-made. Biblically, God does not really care about the color of our skin or how our
right.
eyes are put together and all of this. This is really man-made, and actually I think it's demonically inspired because it helps to, you know, infiltrate the thoughts of people, one person dominating another or having power over another, thinking they're superior to another. So biblically, if we talk about race, the first thing we have to say is, you know, the Bible doesn't really get into race. The Bible, that's not a biblical thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a man-made thing. And what God gets into is nations.
You right.
know, he categorizes people by the nation that you live in,
right.
That you were born in, and whether or not you are a child of God or a child of the devil. That's how God categorizes human beings. And biblically and scripturally,
mm-hmm.
You know, there is no, especially in Christ, you know, there's no Greek or Jew, no male or female,
right.
no slave or freedom.
Right.
You know, we're all in Christ. And so this is how I would respond, because I think a lot of people are very surprised that biblically, we've heard a lot of false doctrine through the years regarding
right.
what people think the Bible says about race or racism. But people are surprised when you really get into the study of it
mm-hmm.
and you see, oh, wait a minute. The Bible is not really focused on this at all, focused on skin color and, you know, that kind of thing. The Bible is more focused on what nations are doing as far as the nation with God or without or not with God.
Right.
And, you know, it's the individual person with God or not with God.
Right.
You know. It has nothing to do with how one looks. We've done that.
Right.
People.
Right.
So
right.
We're the human race, and that's it. There's one and another picture that comes to mind as far as there being one, you know, this type of flesh, that type of flesh. We see that in Genesis. Well, there's the human flesh. And then that's it.
Yes.
You know, black people don't have a different type of human flesh than white people. And white
right.
people don't have the human type of flesh. And Asian people, you know, you have the flesh of animals and the flesh of, you know, birds and the flesh of fish and
right.
the flesh of humans.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
That would be our response, I believe. But a lot of Christians, don't really know how, they don't know that that's their response because they haven't really studied it. So.
Well, I appreciate that. What motivated you to write a book on this topic?
Well, years ago, I believe that one of the ministries that God called me to is to defend the faith. The Lord has blessed me with the ability to be able to write. And so I believe that he called me to defend the faith and to use the medium of writing as far as getting the message across. But I believe he was very specific as to the topics he wants me to address, usually in Christian apologetic. We're basically talking about, the creation versus evolution, or we're talking about Christianity versus cult of Christianity and things of that sort, or world religions. But specifically, I think God was, I felt he was telling me in my heart to write an apologetic message, a defense of the faith, where it comes to race and racism. Because we don't see a lot of that in apologetic material.
Right.
However, there are certain segments of people in our society who will not go to church. They won't pick up a Bible because they believe that the Bible is racist.
Right.
That's what they've heard all their lives.
Right.
You know, they believe that the Bible is against black people.
Mm-hmm.
They've heard... say of just all down through the ages, they've heard say for instance the Nation of Islam and Elijah Muhammad wrote a book called Message to the Black Man in America, where he basically said that Christianity was nothing more than a black slave making religion.
Right.
I mean, that's a quote. They had a lot of influence over black people many years, especially during the 50s and the 60s and 70s, even in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to realize that, wow, there are a lot of black people who really believe that the Bible is racist, that the Bible is a slave-making religion, that the Bible cursed blacks to be
right.
slaves, which is another one of those false doctrines that have passed down through the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, because this was back in the early 90s when God called me to do this, and I remember seeing a television show, Oprah Winfrey, as a matter of fact, and I actually, at that time, her subject, it was way back, she was doing a program on homosexuality, and someone stood up and said, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, it says that it's a sin or whatever, and she said, I remember distinctly, she said, don't talk to me about the Bible. Isn't it that book that says slaves obey your master? All right, and of course, if that's what the Bible says, and it does, but it does a whole lot of other things
exactly.
about how masters are supposed to treat slaves and mm-hmm. how slavery during the antebellum years during America was immoral because, you know, kidnapping a man and selling him into slavery is a sin and, you know, all these different scriptures. We see that in Deuteronomy, but that's never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slave trading is this thing going and, you know, the way they did it as far as kidnapping and bringing them across the Atlantic Ocean and all that was
right.
a sin, taking, destroying families. And a lot of people don't even know those scriptures are in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set out to defend the faith in this area, to write on race and racism, and to defend the faith so that more people, and not just black people, even white people, could see that this is a lie. The Bible doesn't say that blacks are cursed to be slaves.
Right.
God regulated the system of slavery, but the system of slavery here in America was against biblical. It was wrong
teachings, right.
because of how it was implemented.
Right.
Because the Jews sold themselves into slavery, so God had regulations.
Right.
You know, that to pay a debt at times, you know.
Right.
Right. So, and so I've been defending the faith on this, and when I wrote this book, a lot of people didn't understand why racism in the Bible and the American dream. And then Trayvon Martin happened.
Mm-hmm.
And folks began to understand why I wrote this. They began to be able to use it to talk about that the Bible is against this kind of thing,
right?
Institutional racism, you know, oppressing people, oppressing groups of people,
right?
Against favoritism. All this is in the Bible. And so I think it's just extremely important to be part of the apologetic conversation. It basically isn't. And so the Lord has, you know, just put it on my heart. There are other people writing about it, but it's a small little niche, you know. You know, but it's part of defending the faith. Plus, in fact, I think we as Christians need to know what to say when people say the Bible is racist.
Right.
And God is racist. And the Bible, you know, and the slavery issue. And isn't, you know, people start, isn't the Bible the one that says this and says that? You got to know how to respond.
Yeah, I want to commend
and
you.
We don't know how to respond a lot.
You're right. And I really want to commend you for allowing God to use you to write a book on this topic. We may say it's heavy, it's deep, but God is a lot bigger than any topic we can come up with. And he's given us the resources to respond to some of these things that we struggle with. And in your book, and I love history, by the way, that was my undergrad was in history. So,
oh, wonderful.
So I love this book in terms of its contribution to the historicity of the nation that we live in. You talk about the Civil War. You talk about the Constitution, the Jim Crow era, civil rights movement. And then you alluded to the institutional racism. But I love how you capped it off with looking at it from a biblical perspective. And that's what, to me, I love to hear that, because that's what we all are Christians, like you said, ought to be able to do, which is, regardless of what we're talking about, we need to bring it back to the scriptures. And
what does the
scriptures actually say versus what me or some other person may presuppose, as it says. Reading your book, you helping us to look at some of the things that we've heard in the classroom and some of the false data that many of us have been taught or we might have heard on a political trail, and you bringing it back to a Christian paradigm. So can you kind of comment on that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. You know what? I felt like if I'm going to write about defending the faith in this area, you know, race and racism and, you know, what the Bible really says about that, and really trying to bring it home as far as, no, the Bible is not against black folks.
Right.
You know, this is, the Bible is not a white man's religion and all of this. I first have to talk about, well, how did we get here? Why do I even feel compelled to talk about this? You know, how did this even happen? And so I decided, I said, you know, well, the Lord put it in my heart. I said, well, I've got to get some background together. So, you know, I started off by, you know, defining racism, what it is, why it is. And then I get into the rise of racism. I start back with the Indians, and the Native Americans, quote-unquote Indians. The advent of slavery, the Civil War, the Constitution, the amendments to the Constitution, 13th, 14th, and 15th, and the birth of white America and black America, you know, how that all started, and then who's white and who's not, you know, how race really, how this this racial thing that we've created or that has been created, how it's broken down into who's white and who's not, because that's really what it boils down to, you know, as far as discrimination, who's going to be discriminated against and who has the power to do a lot of the institutional discrimination. History of racial discrimination, early childhood Chinese immigrant discrimination, I talk about that. Mm-hmm. I talked about the Japanese internment camps, the Jim Crow, Reconstruction, you know, all of this, passing interracial marriage under Jim Crow, and I talk about the civil rights movement in America, and, you know, Martin Luther King, and many of the landmark incidences that happened through that, Emmett Till murder, Montgomery bus boycott, all of that, Civil Rights Act of 65. Then I get into institutional racism.
Right.
And some of the institutional racism that's not talked about, like the institutional racism of politics, Of course, law enforcement, the judicial system. But there's institutional racism in Hollywood. I get into that. The institutional racism of beauty.
Right.
You know, the
healthcare
system. All of this. And even the institutional racism of the foster care system. And then in Chapter 6, I get into racism and religions and ideologies associated with Christianity, like the Christian identity movement. Well, that's not Christian at all. It's, it's a white supremacist religion.
Right.
The Mormon Church.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Their material is very it's quoted with racism.
Yes.
Then the biblical perspective on race. That's when I culminated into that, just like you said. I give all this background, and then I culminated into the Bible when it comes to actually putting people in racial categories. What do the scriptures say when it comes to favoritism, when it comes to human equality, when it comes to slavery, interracial marriage, this issue on the color of God, what color is God? People get into that.
Right.
When it comes to very dark skin, I get into the Song of Solomon and that particular newlywed marriage and the fact that the woman that's talked about, this beautiful woman that's talked about all throughout the whole book is a black woman.
You're right.
From what we can tell.
You're right.
Yeah, you know,
right.
I mean, yeah, and the Jews and the chosen people, because a lot of people are all there just so upset. Well, the Bible says the Jews are the chosen people. And what that really means, and it's like, you know, well, yeah, that they're not superior people.
Right.
They're chosen because of, that was, you know, God bless
God's
Abraham
preference,
they,
right.
They come from his seed, but that doesn't mean it's superior. And they, too, in order to be saved, have to confess
Amen.
That Jesus is Lord and that he rose from the dead. You know, so I get into all of this, and then my appendix, I talk about the basic beliefs of Christianity.
Amen.
And do some, yeah.
I really enjoy reading the appendix. And again, we thank you so much for being on Sound Reasoning. And believe it or not, our time is up. But,
oh, my goodness.
Great topic is Sister Aretha Dodds. Please get her book, Racism, the Bible, and the American Dream. And that's just the title, but there are subtitles to it. Please go online and Google her name and get in touch with her. Sister Dodds, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And just so they know, they can go to Amazon, too, and get it.
Okay, thank you so much. You can get her book from Amazon. Remember to do for the truth what others do for a lie. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
God's Word will change our life, but sometimes it's hard to know where to start. Well, that's where I come in. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week, I guide you through a scripture, giving you space to listen to the Spirit and pray about what's on your heart. Then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.